Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now is Green America's Climate and Recycling Director, Beth Porter. Thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you so much for having me here.
You wrote the book Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling Systems. And it's kind of a fascinating look. Here in the United States, where did we all go wrong when it came to recycling?
Well, we definitely haven't gone wrong with the enthusiasm people have for recycling. An estimated 94% of Americans think recycling is an important issue. So a lot of the efforts from the 80s and the 90s to get folks excited about recycling were really effective. But the challenge is that we also introduced some different methods, one being single-stream recycling, which is where you put everything all in one bin. Mm-hmm. And that really began to take root out of California and kind of spread across the U.S. in the last few decades. And the challenge with that is participation has increased, but also contamination has skyrocketed as well, which is where recyclables become unfit for resale because, you know, if we put in things that are soiled with food or beverage or things like that, it can damage other recyclables.
I think there is a lot of confusion with that, really. People,
absolutely,
like even myself, I wonder, because there's a label on top of my recycling bin, and it shows the things you can put in there. And I've looked it up online, and there was some question of the things that I can put in there, some questions of the things I can't put in there. You know, they said, you could put these things in there as long as the grease mark's less than the palm of your hand. And then there's like there's like these weird guidelines. And I thought to myself, man, this has got to turn a lot of people off.
Yeah, I think it's very tricky, and the recycling rules continually change, too, every few years. As we've increased with new materials coming in the waste stream, different kinds of plastics, lighter weight plastics, that's really changing recycling constantly. So recyclers at the end of a product's life have to figure out how to navigate all of these changes. And sometimes it, you know, comes with those sort of guidelines that we get of, like, the grease stain smaller than your hand, or another common one is, don't recycle anything that is smaller than the size of a credit card because it's too small and it can get easily, like, erroneously sorted into another material and something like that. So there are sort of little guidelines that we can use. But for the most part, I mean, you've already hit the nail on the head. Just looking up the local rules in recycling, if you have a municipality that puts the recycling rules very easily and readily available, that's great. There are also great resources. One is called Earth 911, where folks can go and look up a specific item and their zip code, and it'll tell you how to recycle that item. So, for example, like batteries are a common item that people might have that are technically recyclable, but we can't put them in our curbside stream. Mm-hmm. So Earth 911 would say, oh, drop it off at your local Best Buy or something like that. So.
Yeah.
It is a complex system, but that's part of what we're trying to straighten out and make it more accessible for folks and easier for people to understand without making recycling like a mindless activity. I don't want it to be a mindless thing, but I want it to be accessible and digestible for people.
Oh, I don't know. I'd almost prefer mindless. I wish it was just easy for me to be like a zombie and just know all of this stuff, like it becomes second nature. You said Earth 911. That sounds like a Travolta movie. Wasn't he in that?
I'm not familiar with that, but to be fair, I haven't seen all the Travolta movies, so I don't know his full portfolio.
Beth Porter is Green America's Climate Recycling Director. The book is Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling Systems. And I wanted to bring into about the excitement over it. Probably the first maybe introduction to recycling I can remember in my life was Captain Planet, that cartoon in the 90s. It seemed like there was an effort to really get kids on board with recycling in the 90s because I don't think my parents ever recycled in the 80s or earlier. I don't think this was ever a thing until the last couple of decades.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a similar experience. You know, Captain Planet was definitely a staple in my upbringing. But there was a concerted effort to really increase education in the 90s. And we did see an increase in recycling programs and also in our recycling rate, which is the amount of waste from our total municipal solid waste, the amount that we're recycling. So that really increased in the 90s. So there were a lot of positive effects of that kind of education. And yeah, we used all sorts of, there were all sorts of techniques. Like I found there are music videos of different like musical artists. I think even Ozzy Osbourne is in one.
I'm not
trying to promote recycling and, you know, using every avenue that was possible to try and communicate how important this is.
The
tricky thing is it was like, that helped us all see recycling as kind of a part of the landscape, as something that we should expect to see and engage with, but it didn't really fully help us understand how it works or how to do it correctly. And so I think that's now the challenge with the current phase of education that we're going, you know, we've got reduce, reuse, recycle. We understand those tenets, but now it's, well, if you're recycling, it's clean, empty, and dry. That's kind of the next phase of learning I think we have to spread.
You know, I've had interviews with some locals that handle the recycling in our area, and they said, too, this was, I thought, something that stuck out in my mind is pretty smart. He said, just imagine, a lot of times, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to our recycling equipment. So he said, you think you could recycle things like a garden hose, but man, that clogs everything up. So you have to be smart with the things you put in there, too, and how you recycle some of these things.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great point. And in the book, I try to explain how the system works and like how machines and manual sorting occurs on the other side of the bin, so people can take that knowledge when you're thinking, oh, should I put this in the recycling bin or what do I need to do? You actually kind of have a view into what it's like to have to deal with our waste on the other end, what workers are having to process, and that can help inform a lot of our decisions.
Her book is called Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling Systems. Beth Porter, our conversation with her continues next on Overnight America KMOX.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Our guest this hour is Beth Porter. She's Green America's Climate and Recycling Director in the book called Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling Systems. A lot of people have questions, including myself, about recycling. I just want some practical answers to it, and I think that's what she can give us here today. I want to ask you, moving forward, because recycling is still a really huge issue. We keep seeing the news about China and how they're not going to accept some of our recyclables, and that is causing even impact here in St. Louis. There's been local news stories about certain cities that don't know what they're going to do with the unsorted recyclables, because they say, well, normally we just send it to China. Now we don't know what we're going to do because of some of the changes in policy. So can you kind of explain that China issue?
Absolutely. So the China issue has actually been coming for a couple of years now. We've been sending about a third of our recyclables overseas, and half of that has been going to China. And this has been going on for the last few decades. So this was a very high-end buyer for us as a country. Recyclables were actually, I think, our largest export for a very long time. But recently, China has enacted a policy called the National Sword, and this went into effect in January of this year. Mm-hmm. And the policy bans all sorts of types of waste, and it also requires a 0.5% contamination rate for a bale of recyclables. And to give an example, a recycling bale might have a 5%. You know, the old rate was like 5% contamination. Mm-hmm. Now to get it down to a 0.5 sounds like not a huge jump, but that's really significant when you're talking about the contamination rates that we're battling with here. Getting that down, a lot of folks have called it nearly impossible to make that with the system we have currently.
Right.
So what's happening now is we're in the thick of it still. It's hard to know exactly how things are going to turn out, because this has been a huge year of a lot of turmoil, a lot of changes, but there's also been a lot of growth and opportunity from this. And when you're trying to change a system that's as big and complex as recycling, it's never going to be convenient. It's always going to have some, you know, kind of growing pains, I guess. And so that, I think, is what we're seeing now. So some counties have responded by dropping certain materials from their recycling streams. Some have actually suspended their recycling service for a few months or even a year while they try and increase education to have a stronger, cleaner stream of recyclables so that we can actually sell some of the recyclables,
yeah.
which is the whole point, right, is having an in-buyer to use this stuff. But yeah, basically China is wanting to build up its own recycling infrastructure and use its own materials domestically. And I guess in many ways, no longer wanted flawed, contaminated recyclables that that it had been receiving. So
yeah.
The standards have certainly changed.
Okay.
But yeah, there's lots of reasons to still be optimistic about recycling, because this is certainly a turning point. Many industry experts are feeling that this is an opportunity. And I guess that's what you say when you are faced with something you really don't want to do. It's like you try to say, well, it's an opportunity, but it really is. And this is kind of the wake-up call that I think we really needed to make recycling
That's funny. You're trying to be optimistic about it all. This is another opportunity. I like that. Beth Porter is Green America's Climate and Recycling Director, and the book out called Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine. What keywords do you have set up in your Google alert? Like, what are you always looking for when it comes to recycling news?
Well, I always have a Google alert for recycling, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I probably read a lot more recycling news than maybe the average person. I'm not always the most fun person at the happy hour to talk to, I guess. Yeah, so I've definitely been trying to follow with how different counties and municipalities are reacting to the China issue, of course, but then also new changes in how we're assessing waste, how we're measuring it, what we're using to, gauge those metrics and things like that. So there's a lot of stuff happening in the industry all the time. You might be surprised at the number of recycling alerts I get every week. So yeah, there's some great reporting going on in the waste sector for sure.
Yeah. You know, part of this, too, is a big concentration on how we look at how products are made. You talk about this in the book, too, with China and some of the products that were coming in and some of the cheaper materials. But now there's a big move in trying to find materials that are easier to recycle. And it seems like a lot of companies are getting on board. We saw the stories probably in the last couple of months with the straws, or getting rid of the plastic straws. And, some communities in like California getting rid of plastic bags. You got to reuse the reusable bags and things like that. Some states have a tax every time you have a plastic bag. So people are becoming more conscious of the materials that they're using, not only as like an end user when you go to the store or a restaurant, but also all of the way the products are packaged from the beginning. So, and you talk about that in your book, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the plastic pollution discussion that has really, the straws really sparked it, and I think a lot of folks, myself included, were kind of surprised that the straws, straws, what gets people attention, but it really did help people see the impact of our waste in a very sobering way.
Can I ask you about the straws real quick before we get to that part? Part of what I didn't understand about that was when you look at the percentage of waste in the ocean, and they were trying to proportion this to say straws are a huge percentage of the total waste, but when it came to weight, it was one of the smallest things that were in the ocean. A lot of people, and I looked at that and I said, are straws really the biggest problem we're having with recycling right now? And people were making a really big deal out of this. And I was a little skeptical. I thought, really, are the straws really the thing holding us back right now? I was hoping you can explain that too.
Sure. Yeah. I've seen estimates that I think about 73,000 tons of our plastic that we produce in the U.S. goes to straws, which is about 0.2%, maybe, I want to say, of all of the plastic that we consume every year. So it's a very small number. And for me, I was just as surprised as anyone about the attention that straws got. But I saw it as, this is a way to start the conversation. This is, a door that people can go into because they see the straw. They make the connection of how it's harming wildlife and aquatic environments. And then the goal is to have that spillover behavior and then think, okay, well, we've thought about the straw. Now let's think about the cup. Now let's think about, the receipt, the bag, and to have people kind of see those connections in everything we buy. And not to say that using resources is a terrible thing, but just to recognize that the rate and volume and kinds of resources we've been using have not been necessarily the most sustainable. So I think the straws for many folks has been, rode into thinking about waste. But if if you're just starting and ending with straws and saying that's the only issue we need to be tackling, I think that's a missed opportunity.
So you can tell me, I'm just a stubborn guy. So what I do is I think, okay, this is America. If I want a straw, I'm going to get a straw. And, you know, if someone says you can't have a straw, you know, I think that's what gets a lot of people upset. But I understand the impact that can have when you start switching these things over. Same thing with the plastic bags. Like right now, anywhere we go, we use the reusable bags at the grocery store simply because it carries so much more. I mean, you can walk out with two big bags as opposed to 80 plastic bags that you're trying to shove down from your wrist to your elbow to carry in through the door. And it's not effective, but you can take one of those regular reusable ones and it seems like you can fit everything in it. See, that just makes sense. For me, I'm looking for the things that make sense. If you can tell me why this is a better way of doing it, I'm going to start doing it. And I think a lot of other people are like that too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the why is really important. And when we talk about, you know, efforts, whether it be about the environment or any issue that we're talking about, I really think that it's more important to communicate the why, not just the action you want people to take or how you want people to engage, because people are really smart and they want to know if they're going to engage in something, what the outcome is going to be and what their return on that time investment is going to be and if it's going to contribute to something larger than themselves in a way that they, you know, want to see change happen. And so I think that it's really important to communicate that why, and also to recognize that a lot of these reusable products, a lot of things that, you know, we're seeing really advocated for right now while we're talking about disposable items, those can save people money in the long run. They can, you know, bring people a bit more self-sufficiency. So there's a lot of good things that can happen when we do the reduce, reuse, recycle and practice it kind of in that order. So, absolutely. But I think communicating the why and helping people understand the larger picture is always really helpful in changing that behavior.
Beth Porter joining us in Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine as the book Sorting Out the Recycling Systems. And one other question for you is about the recycling industry by itself. I had no idea. $105 billion industry, 500,000 workers in the United States alone working in the recycling industry. That is astronomical. I had no idea there was that much tied into it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that we could be seeing even greater benefits from it because this is, you know, these are the numbers with a recycling rate of 34%. 34% of our waste in the United States gets recycled. And these are the numbers we're seeing in terms of revenue and jobs. It's estimated that for every one job with a landfill, you can have 10 jobs created in the recycling industry simply because there are more steps, there's more involvement in taking something, you know, taking old trash and making it into new requires more workers and more processes than just burying something and that being the end of it. So it's definitely a huge opportunity for our economy and for jobs, for sure.
Yeah. One of the things I heard, too, about recycling, and maybe you can help, because I don't know if this is actually true or not. You see these things online, so you don't even know. sometimes when people talk about recycling, they say, well, somewhat of a losing proposition because we're spending a lot more money than what we're getting out of it. So if you look at recycling as an industry, how much money and resources we're spending, you know, 500,000 people and all of these billions of dollars, are we trying to find ways to make recycling more economically viable? Are we trying to find ways to make it so it is something where we could profit off of it? And ultimately, if you find a way to profit off of it, you're going to see a lot more interest in something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is certainly the goal right now, I think, within the industry is to see recycling become more competitive with the virgin materials like brand new plastics and things like that. Because right now the market has really taken a hit from what's going on with China and, volatile commodity markets are always challenging. So how recyclers can navigate those is a really important hot topic constantly. But I think, you know, something that individuals can do in particular is to increase that demand for recycled content. So like when we're trying to, you know, make a decision on something at a store, if we see something that says 30% recycled content or 100%, choose that item because that in itself is a way of expressing demand for recycled content. Or, you know, tag a company on social media and tell them you want them to use recycled materials or something like that. That really goes a long way in urging companies to do these things. Some really big retailers have made decisions about increasing the use of recycled materials simply because their customers wanted them to, not necessarily because it was you know, an economically prudent decision for them at the time. But in the long run, we just want to increase that demand to make it more affordable for folks.
What's the weirdest thing you have in your house that's recycled?
The weirdest thing I have in my house that's recycled? That is a really great question.
Do you have any palette art or anything like that or something that's been reused?
I can say maybe one of the weirdest things that I recycle is old shoes.
Oh.
You can recycle old shoes. However, I want to be very careful about this. You cannot put your old shoes in your curbside recycling program, but there are drop-offs. I actually live in Washington, D.C., and there's a supermarket called Mom's, and they take all sorts of crazy stuff that you can't recycle through your curbside, like your old eyeglasses, old shoes, old toothbrush container, you know, toothpaste containers and stuff like that. So a lot of things that are not taken through our local stream could be dropped off at another facility somewhere. So there you might see some of the weirder stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think to recycle.
I think my wife would like if I recycle my shoes. I wear shoes until they basically put a hole in the sole. I wear them forever. The shoes I'm wearing right now, she bought for me at a garage sale for 75 cents. I've worn them probably for about 5 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, hey, if it's a garage sale, you're already practicing reuse. And by using it for so long, you're practicing, you know, reducing waste. So I think I would support that.
Look at that.
Don't quote me on it. I don't want to quote you. but no, I think that's exactly what we should be doing is trying to get more of that, of what we can out of the items that we have, because, you know, it's better for the environment and resources, of course, but it also saves us money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes can make our lives a lot easier if we don't have to go shopping for the next new thing all the time.
See, I think I just do it because I'm cheap, really. That could be a big part. Okay, so if someone wants to check out your book, where can they find Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine?
The book is available at all the typical places, Amazon, everywhere online, but you can also go to bestrecycles.com and find more information about the book and a link to order it there.
Awesome. Beth Porter is Green America's Climate and Recycling Director. The book Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine, Sorting Out the Recycling Systems. Great pleasure talking to you, Beth. I had fun. Thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you so much for having me.
She joins us on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line. Something she mentioned in the interview was that Ozzy Osbourne did a recycling song. I found it. If you want to hear that song, we're going to play it next on Overnight America KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on KMOX.
Part of that interview we just had, if you missed the start of it, that's okay. We'll podcast it at KMOX.com. Beth Porter is her name. She mentioned there was a recycling song in the 90s with Ozzy Osbourne. Obviously, I wanted to listen to this thing. I didn't know it existed. So when I looked it up, I was pleasantly surprised to find out Ozzy is not the only person on this song. There's a lot of celebrities that recorded called Take It Back. Apparently, there's a thing called the Take It Back Foundation. I don't know how long it was around for. They might have spent all of their money on this one stupid music video to get all of these celebrities together to sing this song. You ready? Tell me this. This is like so 90s. Got to get that guitar solo in at the front. So I'll name some of the celebrities in this. It features Ozzy Osbourne, Bette Midler, Chuck D, Barry White, Stevie Wonder.
Pick out the papers from the trash.
Cans and bottles you can get.
There's Stevie.
We better just recycle more.
That's Bugs Bunny.
We're not gonna rock and roll no more.
Yeah, take it back.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne. I also in this, Kenny Loggins, Queen Latifah, Randy Newman, Charlie Daniels, Natalie Cole, B.B. King, Lita Ford, Pat Benatar. The Kenny Loggins? I think that's where Bette Midler comes in. You like the song? How come I don't remember this? of all the recycling and type of shows and the big concentration of getting the celebrities on board to get you out there to reduce, reuse, recycle, and the pushes inside the schools, how come I've never saw this? They must have spent so much money on this. Oh, deep voices. I think Ozzy's at the end. Maybe we'll hold off and hear Ozzy one more time. As producer Mike had to point out, hey, remember when Ozzy got arrested in that mugshot where it shows him with the blue shirt on? Of course. They must have spent so much money on this. Ozzy Osbourne, Bette Midler, Chuck D, Barry White, Stevie Wonder, Kenny Loggins, Queen Latifah.
Well, we can do it, man.
Is that Ozzy again?
Don't be no scratch. Don't be no chump.
Barry White.
Don't make dessert a garbage dump.
Take it away.
Man, it's green. It's no more fun. There's no more room.
Tell me this isn't like vintage 1990.
I want my kids to have a clean planet.
Oh, thank goodness. All of the most popular celebrities for children in 1990. Was Ozzy that popular with kids? Ozzy Osbourne, Bette Midler, Chuck D, Stevie Wonder, Kenny Loggins, Barry White, Queen Latifah, Randy Newman, Charlie Daniels, Natalie Cole, B.B. King, Lita Ford, Pat Benatar, and Bugs Bunny. What a motley crew. I tell you what, that may have been the most expensive PSA in the history of PSAs. I'm sure they raised money because it was popular to start recycling. Oh, we got to do everything we can. Please give us money. Donate to the organization. It's called the Take It Back Organization, and they put this song together, and I'm guessing they spent 90% of all of their donations to pay off the celebrities in order to put that musical act together. It's not easy to get that. I'd love to find out the behind the music of that song. Now, that's a collaboration. You want to talk about what was the one, the Heal the World? Heal the World. They probably spent less money on Heal the World than they did on that one PSA. Why? Because you don't call up Ozzy Osbourne, hey, we're doing a kid's PSA. Can you come over and do this for free? No, thank you. But the Heal the World, they might throw in and allow themselves to do that. Wasn't that the Michael Jackson song? Man, that song's going to get stuck in your head forever, forever. Oh, there was another recycling story that has to do with Bill Gates in human feces. That was a nice headline. It says, Today, rich countries have a sewage system where you bring in water, put the human waste in, and it goes out to all the treatment processing plants, Gates told CNN. That requires the installation of a lot of pipes. It's very expensive. It's not going to happen in these poorer cities. So the Gates Foundation started throwing money, $200 million, in order to develop waterless toilets that will help not only move the waste out, but will also allow for the contamination side of the waste, so all the parasites and the diseases and things that's, you know, just sits around when you have human waste laying around, to also kill that once it's trapped. So what they're doing is competing in a challenge to make it so you can operate a toilet for less than 5 cents a day with no water, no electricity. The foundation funded scientists to invent these toilets. They hope that it'll help with some of these diseases we have in these third world countries where they can't afford the plumbing. That's cool. You know, good for Bill Gates. That's not one of those fancy, everyone says, oh, I'm going to give money and I'm going to go to the organizations that are, you know, very popular. But Bill Gates, that's actually a really worthy thing. He did malaria treatments in some of these third world countries too. I mean, he does a lot of great work, Bill Gates. You got to give him credit for things like this and putting his name behind things that, you know, people normally would just say, eh, we don't need that. There's sexier things we can start pushing out there. Bob in Afton, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. Hey, back in the disco days, which was probably before your time.
It was.
Lou Rawls had a song, and he had about four or five people on the record with him, and I'm pretty sure the record was called Let's Clean Up the Ghetto.
So this was disco?
Yeah, it was his deep voice, and he tells you the story about what happened in New York City, mm-hmm. and then how everybody's got to pick up stuff and everything. It was pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. If it's catchy, I may play it when we come back from break. If I can find it, it might be one of those hidden things that are gone for good. But Lou Rawls, I'll look him up.
Yeah, I got it on a 45.
When was the last time you played it?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it hasn't seen the light of day in a long time.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, one more thing.
Yeah.
When I go shopping and I bring the plastic bags home, I save those, and then I put them in as liners for the trash can in the bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone tries to do that. That's the perfect thing for the garbage bags.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any of those reusable bags? Because I'm telling you, it's so much easier to carry groceries in them.
No, I don't have those.
Oh, it's so much easier. I mean, you can fit so much more in those things. It's almost night and day. When you try to grab as many bags as you can out of your car when you're getting inside the house, you grab one of those reusable ones, you can get away with like two or three, maybe just two, depending on how big they are. And it's so much easier to transport the stuff. For me, and I even told this to our guest, I said, if it's something that makes sense and it's a better way of doing it, I'll listen. But, you got to pitch it to me. It's got to be something worth my time. And Bob, that's one of those things that really is. But those little plastic bags come in handy when I take the dog out for a walk, too, just in case. All right, thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm going to go look up that song. Let's go find some disco next on Overnight America KMOX.
Local news from St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather station, KMOX.
So we found the song from 1977. Bob, who just called in. Philadelphia All-Stars, Let's Clean Up the Ghetto by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. Finding this explanation online. I don't know anything about it. I really don't. Who else is on this track? It's 1972 is a very good year as the newly founded label struck gold with I Miss You and If You Don't Know Me By Now. Oh, I remember that one. If you don't know me by now, you will never, ever. Who did the there was someone that did a parody of that. I can't. But most of the tracks were recorded in Philadelphia. It was not Rebecca Black. Producer Mike. Let's hear this song. I'm curious what it sounds like. Bob said this was one of his favorites. Ooh. Horn section getting in there. Ba-da-bow.
You know, I was in New York City a few months ago, and the garbage and the trash men were on strike. I'm talking about the maintenance people for the city.
This could have been not 1977. This could have been any time.
More money, get a little raise in pay. But at that particular time, the city was broke. They were about ready to declare default. I tell you, the garbage in some places was stacked up two, three stories high.
Still is.
At night. Boy, at night it wasn't even safe to walk the street, you see, because the rats, the roaches, and the water bugs. I mean, they were hustling, baby.
They still are.
It's amazing. And let me tell you something, it was stinking, boy, and it was all kind of disease in there.
Still is.
You know, but it only brought to mind the fact that you can no longer depend on the man downtown to take care of business like he's supposed to, when he's supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
In order for us to get it like it's supposed to be.
We should remake this for St. Louis, all the trash problems we have where we can't get the garbage trucks in operational form and they won't go out there and they won't collect.
And you know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you what I mean.
A good song. Bob, I'm so glad you called in. Producer Mike, I found out you got some moves, man. I can see you going out on the floor like Travolta. Again, another Travolta reference. Your Saturday Night Fever in it. in the producer's booth right now. All of the sin. Now he's got his handkerchief. He's wiping his forehead off. In the ghetto. Hey, where'd you get that? What's that cardboard for? Oh, you're putting it on the floor. Here it comes. You know, you haven't actually lived in St. Louis until you hear that blaring from someone's car through downtown on a nice summer day. Good. We gotta do it in order for us to survive. I said we gotta be. So for the rest of the show, I'm just gonna spin your favorite tunes. DJ Ryan Recker with you. I can't say I've ever heard this song, but I wish I would have. This is pretty good. If Quentin Tarantino is listening, just happens to be flicking through AM radio and hears this song, you know how he's gonna open his next movie is with this song. All of your brothers that live on the main line. And what an intro line. They're getting in there. Let me tell you the history of the sanitation strike in New York City. Gather round, children. I want to tell you about how the city had trash stacked up three stories high and the rats all over the place. That's pretty good. I like that. Thanks, Bob, for calling that in. That was fun. Your favorite recycling songs, huh? I could see Sesame Street taking a song like that and getting the puppets. Let's clean up Sesame Street. Da, 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 da. They always bring those. They have. I'll tell you, Sesame Street has some really good parodies. If you haven't seen them as of late, they are so good. They'll have Cookie Monster go out and really do some cool things. He's got some that are Star Wars related. They just do a real fun job with it. I gotta tell you what happens with all these songs that are out there that'll get stuck in your head for the rest of the day. How many people had that on an 8-track in their car? Their 81 Camaro, they pop in the 8-track of the Philadelphia All-Stars and just go at it. With all the sanitation issues we find ourselves with here in St. Louis, we should remake that. What are the Philadelphia All-Stars up to today? You know, it's only 40 years ago that song came out. Only 40 years ago. Let's get them in. I wonder what we can do with it. All right, in the next hour, I got a lot more to get to. How about we do something a little bit different? I saw a story about a mom who was upset because she wanted the playground all to herself. You ever go somewhere in St. Louis, a public area, and you get upset because other people are there? Come on, get over yourself. It's a public area. Well, this woman wasn't getting it. We're going to talk about that. I love space stories. There's two great space stories out there. One is about a cigar-shaped object that Harvard researchers think could be alien spacecraft. Ooh. Ooh. We need to do the 1960s alien soundtrack sound. Got any good alien songs, too? And then they want to shoot a laser to other galaxies in hopes to grab other people's attention. You ever try to grab someone's attention? You like flash a light at them or something like that, you know, just something to grab their attention. Apparently, scientists want to do that, but with a really, really, really big laser. And Phil Kogan's going to join us. He's the host of Amazing Race on CBS, but he is the host of National Geographic Channel's Explorer. Been around forever. You know Explorer, right? Everyone knows what Explorer is because of their theme song is so good. Great theme song. Maybe we'll play that too. Yeah, we're just going to do straight music for the rest of the night. Why not? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Spinning all your favorite hits on Overnight America. Not really. But we got a lot to get to. And if you haven't checked out the podcast, yeah, go get it at KMOX.com. Sometimes I'm being goofy and I'm talking about you know, sanitation in New York City, 1977. And other times, you know, it's a little more serious, like the first hour. But either way, we just have fun. So you can pick and choose the things you want to listen to. Just go to KMOX.com in the podcast section, or better yet, subscribe to us on your smartphone. Just open up your podcast app and just look for Overnight America. There's a little search there. Type Overnight America. Boom. Get anything you want when you want it. Really easy, and it's free.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.